back,
oh, relax, shit.
And enjoy as Don Tony gives you news
no.
and reviews from it.
No! No, what's going on here? Oh, come on! No! I forgot that on Wednesday I used Monday's template. Oh, man. Almost, it was almost Wednesday. Hey, everyone, it's Wednesday. Our sources tell us that backstage tonight at Dynamite, all the talk was about Jeff Hardy. What happened with him in Florida, they're concerned about his well-being. Our sources tell us that. Sausage. Good evening, everybody. Oh, man, you know, maybe a good laugh is in order for tonight. June 13th, 2022, I am back once again. This is your WWE Raw After Show. I am Don Tony, as always, and obviously we got a big story to get into today. Please do not mince my words. I am not saying that this is not a serious situation. It is very serious. But when we break it down, you'll understand, even though thank God Jeff Hardy did not hurt anybody with this vehicle, this is a third DUI arrest in 10 years. And it is taken somewhat seriously. But when we break it down at the end of the day, I don't know if you all realize that this may not be as big of a deal in the court system as you think. Especially when you realize that you could go on Amazon right now. You go on Amazon right now and buy this Star Wars Lego set. I don't know what that contraption is, but that is more expensive than what Jeff Hardy had to pay to get out of jail this afternoon. Florida for you, but we'll talk about it. Also, tonight we'll talk about Raw. You know, some advancement for Money in the Bank. We'll give you some preview for NXT and AEW this week. Now, all the AEW talk, the NXT, Two Dimes, Aaron Stevens, is he retiring from wrestling or is he just retiring from NWA? Triple Mania and a few other things. We'll get into all of that on Wednesday. Tonight, we're going to keep it pretty much focused to WWE, Raw, a little SmackDown, and Jeff Hardy. I know we had a pose down to close out the show, you know, a little pose down, but you should know this by now. We have had a couple of Bobby Lashley segments, non-wrestling, to close out Raws. Wasn't there a contract signing right before WrestleMania? Didn't we have something else not too long ago with Omos? What was it, Arm Wrestling Challenge? It might have been. I don't remember, but I know we have had at least, this is at least the third time WWE this year closed out Raw on TV with a non-wrestling match. Now, everybody who is live at Raw right now is being treated to a bonus match. Who that is, I have no idea. But they are being treated with an additional match. So for those that were live in attendance, I don't think they're going to be going home too angry that, oh, we got a stupid pose down to close out Raw. Who knows? We may get Bobby Lashley versus Theory as a bonus Raw match, and we'll probably have some bullshit finish. So anyway, Mike from New York, I don't go on a tickets website and base shit on there. So sorry. Just saying, just because people write stuff doesn't mean that you have to buy into everything. Oh, tonight we'll talk about how the sausage is made a few times, but look, before we get into Raw, and Raw tonight, not that bad, maybe not that good, although Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, absolute banger. I mean, those two guys always deliver. That match in itself was fabulous. Now, we'll get into that after, because we got to talk about Elias returning next week. Elias is coming back next week. Oh, how is WWE going to pull that off? Sausage, everyone. I'm actually looking at the answer. I'm looking at the answer. I will show you in a few minutes. All right. Kevin Milwaukee says, take a shot every time I say smoke and mirrors. Yeah, unfortunately, we got to say that a lot because of all the crap that's online. By the way, speaking of crap, remember yesterday I was talking about something with popculture.com with one of the lamest attempts at clickbaiting about the Sasha Banks Naomi thing? Remember I told you I was going to look up the tweet so I could show you, so you could see for yourself? Look, I'm not going to lie. I was a little afraid about posting this because I know how weird people get, you know, because the person that I'm showing is of a darker skin color. Oh, DT, you just don't like black people. If I say to you later on that I think this tag team should be your next WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, I guarantee you'll have some people say, oh, typical blondes, typical white blonde women. Spare me. Spare me with that shit. I criticize everybody. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care if you look good, you look like shit. I don't care. But here's the tweet. You got to go out of your way and check this out. Look at this tweet from popculture.com. I'm going to read it word for word for everyone in my audio family, audio only family that is listening right now. It says, listen closely, Sasha Banks and Naomi walked out of WWE Raw last month, leading to WWE suspending both of them. Yeah, so far, so good. And fans are now wondering, what's next for the duo? Brian Jones finds out if Sasha and Naomi's time in WWE have come to an end. I think that should be, has come to an end, but listen to that. He finds out. So me, I did the stupid mistake. I clicked on it. I wanted to see, what did he find out? I swear on Jesus Christ, I will never do another show. I listened to this for 90 seconds. He said nothing. He said nothing. The only thing he said was they haven't tweeted at all. He said nothing. He finds out. These are blue check marks. The freaks come out at night. Oh my God, you got to go check that one out. I wanted to punch myself in the ears and in the eyes for wasting my time. Seriously, I could have masturbated with a razor blade and had a better time in that 90 seconds yesterday. I know that's kind of vicious, but, you know, cheese grater. Cheese grater might be a little better. All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Jeff Hardy today arrested in Florida. Might have been the wee hours of the morning. All right. We don't know the exact times. But he was arrested today, charged with three offenses. I know most of the places that you read only said two, but that's because they didn't bother doing any research. They're just copying off of other sites and they're basically telling you what other people are saying. All right. Now, before I tell you what the charges are, what he is facing, what AEW is doing about it, and what others may not be doing about it. This is his third DUI in 10 years. That is a very big deal. And the reason why it's a very big deal is because many states, when you get arrested for multiple DUIs, they will look at the 10-year time frame. And that is how something could go from a misdemeanor to a felony. So that the 10-year time frame is very, very important here. Now, Jeff Hardy, since 2017, I believe, has had three. You know, we're not talking about years past. We're talking about now. Now, look, when he left WWE, and I'm being straight up here, I'm not playing favors on either side. I'm just telling you, as I see it and how I feel about it. All right. I have said this a trillion times over the last 25 years. Alcoholism is a sickness. It is an addiction. You become chemically, emotionally, and physically addicted to it. It is an illness. People who recover, who successfully recover from alcoholism, they will battle it for the rest of their life. Jeff Jarrett, great example, kicking rehab's ass right now, but still, that will linger with him for the rest of his life. Kurt Angle, battling alcoholism for the rest of his life, even though he does not drink anymore. You become chemically, emotionally, and physically addicted to it. That's not a justification to drink. The sad thing about Jeff Hardy is the same thing that we said originally about Sonny years ago. You want to enjoy a drink? You're legally allowed in this country. Drink. Drink. Have fun. Don't get behind the wheel. And Jeff Hardy, after two DUI arrests, let's just talk about the two. The courts gave him restrictions. First of all, here's one charge. All right. He does not have a valid driver's license right now. Now, that could be suspended, it could be revoked, or he has a restricted license. That's something that no one is going to explain to you. I have been an insurance agent since 1998, and I'm licensed to write insurance in Florida. You could look me up and you'll find my information. I am legally liable. I know all the laws about Florida. And I could tell you that you can get a restricted license. And when you have a restricted license, there are very specific things that you can and cannot do in a vehicle. That's why I don't think Jeff Hardy's license was revoked. I don't think Jeff Hardy's license was suspended. What I think happened, and the reason why I'm saying this, is because one of the three charges that he was charged with is violating restrictions placed on a license. What could that be? Okay, Jeff, you had two DUIs. For the next 5 years, you do not have a regular driver's license, but you could use a car to go to and from work. You could go to the grocery store and home. You could go to the doctor's appointment and home. No, you can't go to a bar. No, you can't hang out on the beach. Even if it's karaoke night, you can't sing a little bit and claim it's work. When you have a restricted license, there are very specific things that you can and cannot do. Most people who get DWIs and DUIs and get a restricted license should kiss the ground that they have any driving privileges, because I've come across a lot of people over the years who say, look, oh my God, I need my car. I work for a living. I use my car for a living. I need to feed my family. I need to do this. And I know what you're going to say. Well, you should have thought about that before you get behind the wheel. But courts will grant a restricted license. His restricted license could have also been that his vehicle needs to be equipped with a breathalyzer built in the ignition system, that when he gets behind the wheel, he has to blow in a breathalyzer to show that he has not been drinking in order to get behind the wheel. Now, yes, you could take pills and blow into a breathalyzer and it doesn't pick up on it. But those are examples of some restrictions that are on a license. All right, here, for all you younger friends out there, you know, maybe not too long ago you got your permit. Maybe you got a junior license. What's a junior license? You could only drive with another licensed driver in the car. That's a form of a restricted license. Jeff Hardy had a restricted license and he violated it. Not by drinking and driving. He violated it because he was using the vehicle in a way he's not supposed to. All right. I hope you understand what that meant. He could have been pulled over and be clean as a whistle and he would have very well gotten the moving violations. Honestly, there probably would have been no reason to pull him over. But understand that charge is not necessarily about the DUI. It's he was using the vehicle in a way he's not supposed to. The other part of his license is driving while license is canceled, suspended, revoked, or restricted. One has to do with the other. Understand something. If you have a restricted license and it's suspended, you're not supposed to be driving at all. Doesn't matter if you go in a car, you could give that breathalyzer a blowjob all day long. You're not supposed to be behind a wheel, period. So that is the second charge. The third charge, which is obviously the big one, is the DUI third time over the last 10 years. And that is a very serious offense. We're not in Sonny territory, even if Sonny didn't kill anybody. Wish we could say that, but he's not in that territory, thank God. But for everyone out there that is wondering what he is facing, now when I start telling you this, you'll understand why this is a big deal, but it may not be as big as people think that it is. And look, DUI is big. No one should be behind the wheel under the influence, period. But let me read to you a couple of charges what he's facing so you understand. This is particularly for a third DUI charge. Anybody who has a third DUI within 10 years, you commit a felony in the third degree, punishable by a maximum of 5 years in prison. Jeff Hardy getting 5 years in prison? No, he is not. Obviously, he is not. If he didn't have one already, going forward, they will put an ignition device in his vehicle that he has to blow into it and be clean in order to use a vehicle. That's if he has his driving privileges restored. But usually your license, your driving privileges are gone for the next 10 years. So Jeff Hardy, and I understand this, it ain't just getting behind a car. Those home videos of him jumping off of mountains, if he gets caught riding a bike, oh, but I'm on my land, he'll be in just as much of trouble. That's why if you notice, you don't see any of those videos anymore of him doing, even just riding, you know, locally, because he can't. And now his license is all but done for the next 10 years. Minimum fine of $2,000, maximum fine of $5,000. The likely scenario is he faces up to a year in jail, not the five. I want to make that clear. There are different forms of this, but you're looking at a maximum of 12 months. Do I think Jeff Hardy does any jail time? No, I don't think so. And you look at the bail / bond amount that he had to post today. For those that don't know, he had to post a $500 surety bond for the driving against, you know, violating the restricted guidelines. He had a $500 bond for driving with a suspended, canceled, restricted license, you know, under different circumstances. What could have also happened is he had a restricted license and it became suspended. Maybe he had a ticket he didn't pay, something that he was supposed to do. I don't know if he's supposed to be checking in. You know, I don't know. I'm not his caretaker, but that could be it too. He could have a restricted license that got suspended and he's like, fuck it, I'm going to drive anyway. So those two were $500 bonds. Now, any of you that go back with me on these shows, you already know the bond process. The bond is 10% of whatever the actual bail is. So those two charges were $500 bonds, which means each of those two charges he had to pay, not including administrative fees and the cost of purchasing a bond, he paid $50. $50. The DUI that he was arrested for, third time in 10 years, $2,500 surety bond. Jeff Hardy today, between the bond and the administrative fees and the company supplying the bond, he probably paid less than $500 to get out of jail. Third DUI is serious amongst all of us because we follow Jeff Hardy on a daily basis. We want to see him succeed. We don't want to see him crash and burn. We don't want to see him fail. So we are emotionally attached to Jeff Hardy. That's why we look at this and we feel it's a much more serious situation. You look at what he's been doing in AEW, and we've talked about it over and over and over again. That guy is going through excruciating pain. How do you numb that pain? Take a couple of Tylenol. you know, stay in an ice bath all day long. So, you know, alcohol, he's allowed to have a drink, but you're not supposed to get behind the wheel. So we are emotionally attached to Jeff Hardy. That's why we look at this as a gigantic, tremendous story. But at the end of the day, the court let him out within 8 hours. He's gonna, and some people are saying he's supposed to go to court tomorrow. I'm not so sure about that. You post bond, that means you were in front of a judge already. You're not sitting in jail. A lawyer could negotiate with a judge, but if you get a bond set, a judge is the one that determines that. So I don't know if he'll actually be in court tomorrow. If you find out that he's not in court tomorrow, don't be surprised. And don't think that he skipped bail or skipped bond or skipped court. It's not the case. But again, he got out of jail paying less than $500. You know, when you realize that, yes, it's Florida, and Florida is really fucked up with a lot of their laws. But at the end of the day, what this guy is looking at is probably lose his driving privileges for the next 10 years. Down the line, if he gets the opportunity to get a restricted license, they're going to have to put some type of breathalyzer in it if there's not in one already. And he's going to have a couple of $1,000 in fines. He's going to have some lawyer costs as well. And I really would be shocked if he goes to jail. You know, if this guy was just piss-ass drunk, that bond would have been a little bit higher. So the fact that he was out literally coming up with less than $500, you know, we don't know how much the guy was drinking. Now, I already requested the police report, just like the one I got for, what's his face? Jake Atlas, a couple of weeks ago. Same process. So I should have it by tomorrow. You know, I won't get into very personal information, but if I get it tomorrow, we'll get into it on Wednesday. Now, couple other things. AEW, if you're not aware of it already, they have already stopped promoting the three-way dance, the ladder match for the AEW Tag Team Championships. Originally, it was supposed to be the Young Bucks versus the Hardys versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. That is off the table. There is a possibility they still do a one-on-one match tomorrow, but as of right now, that match is off the table. Jeff Hardy is not wrestling on Wednesday. Now, I know some of you brought to me people tweeting saying, you know, I hope because the fans were looking forward to it that he wrestles Wednesday. I don't even pay attention to dopey shit like that. But, you know, I got, and I thank, who sent this in? Big Sal sent this in. Do I see AEW releasing Jeff Hardy? It may be the best thing for his health and well-being. Now, I said this on Twitter earlier today. I'm going to say it right here also. Please, I know you can get hundreds of likes over it. I know it's a catchy thing to do. I know it emotionally will charge people. But if you don't like AEW, don't blame AEW saying, oh, they're, you know, sloppy shop and they don't really, you know, how could they make Jeff Hardy dive off a balcony, stuff like this. It's just inviting him to drink. Stop blaming AEW for this. Stop saying, oh, WWE, they were smart. They felt something was up, and they ended up being right. It's not AEW's fault. It's not WWE's fault or WWE having a wherewithal. This is 1,000% on Jeff Hardy. Nobody else. This is Jeff Hardy making his bed. Now he has to lie in it. Do I think AEW will release Jeff Hardy? No, I don't. I don't think that they will. I think that AEW, especially that there's a lot of people behind the scenes. I mean, look, we talk about the perception online, and it's very, very, you know, there's a lot of confrontation online. If you like WWE and you don't like AEW, if you want to experiment AEW, if you don't know the history of CM Punk and you don't know about his Ring of Honor theme, like, you got all these people going after you, and no one in AEW tries to calm down that climate. There's an anger in the air. Tony Khan goes on a cursing tirade about Bischoff. Bischoff makes an opinion. I disagreed entirely about Bischoff, but it got him so angry, you would have thought somebody kicked Tony Khan's dog, walked backwards, and kicked it again. You know, CM Punk cursing up a storm. Other people cursing up a storm. There's this really angry climate going on, and there's no one that's trying to calm that down. But I will tell you, behind the scenes, there is a lot of people within the pro wrestling industry that is really praying and rooting for Jeff Hardy. This is a sickness. This is an illness. You can bring a horse to water. You can't force the horse to drink. You could arrest Jeff Hardy. You could take away his driving privileges. You could release him from AEW. That's not going to stop Jeff Hardy from doing what he wants if he wants to do it. You know, we live in a free country, and unfortunately, when you live in a free country, you have the freedom to fuck up and do stupid things. There is nothing that you, I, AEW, Matt Hardy, anybody can do to totally recover Jeff Hardy unless you want to, you know, chain his ankle to a radiator in somebody's house, feed him, give him a place to piss and shit, and just let him sit there and watch TV until he dies. 10, 20, 30 years from now. There is no way you can, anybody could stop Jeff Hardy. There's no way I could stop you. You could stop me. There's no way to stop it. You got to just hope to God that this guy hits rock bottom and it scares him straight. Maybe what we used to say about others, that sometimes a very serious health condition will scare someone out of drinking, out of doing drugs, out of doing this. So even if AEW were to release Jeff Hardy, what would stop Jeff Hardy from working another indie fed and saying, you know, that adrenaline, I'm going to jump off the building. You know, you don't think that there's someone out there that would welcome Jeff Hardy with open arms to work their show on the cheap? We got Ric Flair, who some people think he's going to drop dead in the ring. I don't think, you know, I'm not as worried about Ric Flair anymore. But there's always someone out there that will take him in. So letting Jeff Hardy go is not going to straighten out Jeff Hardy. The best thing for AEW to do is to take him off TV for a little while. And when Jeff Hardy goes through rehab, I expect him to be off TV for a minimum of 30 days. And if he goes through rehab, completes rehab, remember, WWE will still pay for his rehab. It's a tax write-off. 60 days, whatever it is, Jeff Hardy comes back. You know Jeff Hardy is going to be welcomed by the fans, similar to what happened with John Moxley. People forget. John Moxley, if anybody ever had the privilege of talking to him, a little bit real, John Moxley will tell you his alcohol issues will stay with him for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life. There is no guarantee that he will remain clean or relapse. None of us could ever predict it. All we could do is hope. And all we could do is show support. And all we could do is, you know, I don't want to say pray, but, you know, these guys, they're grown adults. They drink. They get behind the wheel, even if they don't get into an accident. Remember, Jeff Hardy got caught today. How many times did Jeff Hardy get behind the wheel? And he never got caught. That's the thing. So AEW, no, I don't think they'll release him. I don't think releasing him does anything. But I just could only hope that, you know, maybe Jeff Hardy now, you know, it scares him straight. You know, it's three. Three's a lot. And it's not that long of a time. But I think there's got to be some responsibility also. And I'm not putting this on AEW, but if he does come back, you can't have him doing some of the physicality that you know he's not taking painkillers, that you know that this pain at his age, after these decades of performing, that this is going to hurt his body big time. You got to eliminate those situations. If he wants to do it somewhere else, go right ahead. We have to put our fandomhood aside and not enable Jeff Hardy, put him in a situation for that adrenaline rush, because I guarantee you 5-10 years from now, people could be saying about Darby Allin. People could be saying about others as well. So if Jeff Hardy is healthy enough to return, goes to rehab, beats it. Look at Jimmy Uso. You could go down the line. You know, look, I could go out for somebody's party, a wedding, a baseball game, a barbecue, have a couple of drinks, feel that I'm perfectly fine, go home, get pulled over, get arrested. Now it's on my record. Does anybody think that I'm a chronic drinker? So yes, a DUI could happen to anyone. It shouldn't happen, but it could. This is a third time now. But again, we don't know if this is just, wow, he decided to drink after all these years and not look what happened, or has he been doing this for a while and he just never got caught? But if he returns, you know, we have to, you know, put our temptations aside to see him jump off of a balcony just for our enjoyment. And as a promoter, you know, you got to pull people in and say, look, just because you want to do it doesn't mean that you should do it. And we've talked about that from Sammy Guevara doing this. No, you know, if you do this and people really think he's fucking nuts for doing that, most likely he should not be doing it. And all you need is it to go seriously wrong. Well, you know, this is the risk I took and I made my bed. I got to live in it. But, you know, you can't just take, you know, cross your fingers every time and hold your breath. And then he does the move and he's okay and he didn't cripple himself. Be like, no, you got to have a little responsibility. That's why in a lot of cases with WWE, you don't see AJ Styles doing some of the insane shit that he used to do. You don't see Ricochet doing some of the insane shit that he used to do in Lucha Underground. You don't see some of these, right? They still do some, but you don't see them doing as much as what they used to. Look at Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn did an interview with Corey Graves, and I was fascinated with it over the weekend. And he was talking about, I have it right here. He says that he wants to transition, and he's addicted right now. He said it is so addicting to transition from good match guy to storytelling guy. He wants to build his character to be more character driven. He loved that match with Johnny Knoxville, and he wants to do more of being a character, colorful. He doesn't want to be looked at anymore as that guy that could give us 4- and 5-star matches. Why does Sami Zayn do that? Yes, that probably will piss off Jim Cornette and a lot of purists out there, and that's their right. But at the end of the day, Sami Zayn has fallen in love with being this character, and he realizes, I don't have to kill my body for fans to love what I'm doing. Even if you despise the match at WrestleMania with Johnny Knoxville, look at that crowd. You look at Michael Cole. Look at others, and they're jumping out of their seat at that shit. Yes, we don't want to see it every single week, and we don't want to see it every single month. But that's what Sami Zayn, that has pulled him in. And, you know, that's why you don't see some of the things in WWE. And I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. But when you see wrestlers not doing that, understand, you know, I don't think they want to be dealing with crazy amounts of pain. I don't think any of them want to be addicted to painkillers. I don't think anybody out there wants to depend on alcohol, even if they don't get behind the wheel. You know, just because you drink doesn't mean like, oh, as long as I don't drive, I'm all right. No. I mean, there's a lot of you out there that probably have dealt with loved ones who had alcohol problems, addiction to alcohol, and never got behind the wheel drunk. So I pray for Jeff Hardy. I hope Jeff Hardy, you know, court is obviously going to have to do something. But again, unless we're with Jeff Hardy every single day, there's, you know, nothing that we could really do about it. As far as, who said this? John Fawcetta, like Sonny, Jeff is going to walk sometime soon. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, the amount he paid to get out was tiny. I read you what the charges he's facing. It's serious, but it's not something that's going to turn your life upside down. And yes, he could get behind the wheel again. We just hope to God that he doesn't. Look what happened with Sonny. Her life is done. It's done. I mean, she had more chances than anyone in this world. And she could have drank. All she had to do was not get behind the wheel. Jeff Hardy could have a couple of drinks. Shouldn't, because it's a vice, but he could. Just don't get behind the wheel. Don't get behind the wheel. Is an Uber that big of a deal? Seriously, if friends, no one could drive him home. But again, we're all grown adults. And if Jeff Hardy wants to get behind the wheel, unfortunately, you know, it might take a tragedy and locking him up for a long period of time to straighten him out. I hope we never have to talk about that. I hope we never have to talk about that. So, all right. I think we have discussed Jeff Hardy enough. If you have any additional comments, you're more than welcome to post them in the comment section later, and I will definitely go through them. We'll continue the conversation. We'll probably talk about a little bit more on Wednesday, because Wednesday, for those that don't know, I am back on Wednesdays, and Wednesdays is dedicated to AEW and NXT. So if anything else transpires with Jeff, I will let you know. If I get that report and there's anything in there that is very, very noteworthy, you know, the police, they'll write down a good look. When we read about Jake Atlas, we had a pretty good idea as far as how much he had drank and what kind of condition he was in. So we'll have a good idea as far as what went down. But, and who knows, if you, for all we know, TMZ could end up getting video. You know how that is. You know how that is. So, all right. Let's talk about Raw. Let's run it down quickly because, honestly, this episode of Raw tonight was a fun episode. Oh, there is one other thing about Jeff Hardy. There is one other thing. And it's very important that I bring it up because I know no one else has brought it up today, and it's definitely important. All right, he is off AEW this week. We probably won't see Jeff Hardy on television for the foreseeable future. But this weekend, Jeff Hardy is supposed to perform for AAA, Triple Mania 30. He's supposed to team up with Matt and go up against Dragon Lee and Dralístico, Los Hermanos. Do I think that Jeff Hardy could still perform in Tijuana? I don't know if he's allowed out of the country. That could be why he's in court tomorrow. He could be in court tomorrow. His lawyer might be going to court tomorrow to see if he's allowed to leave the country. I will not be surprised if that, because like I said, bond was set today. Next court date is not until probably July. I know that's how the court system works. You get arrested, you're charged, you enter a plea, they give you bail or bond, and you're out. You make it, you don't make it, whatever it is. That's it. Next court date. If he's in court tomorrow, can almost guarantee you it's because the lawyers are probably asking, can he go to Mexico? If I was AAA, and I'm sorry for the AAA fans out there, I'm sorry for you Jeff Hardy fans out there. In my opinion, if I was AAA, can't put Jeff Hardy on that card. Have Matt Hardy team up with someone else or scrap the match entirely. But I will say this, it will not surprise me if AAA still puts Jeff Hardy on that card. So that's something for you to think about because I know a lot of places are not talking about it. In fact, I didn't find one place today that was saying, what's up with Jeff Hardy's status for June 18th? It's only 5 days away. So we'll find out. I'll find out. I bet you that's why he's in court tomorrow. All right, so now we could talk a little bit about Raw tonight. Okay, Riddle facing Roman for the Undisputed Unified Championship. It's not as big of a stipulation as you think it is. If you paid attention tonight, your stipulation changed a little bit. Riddle, if he beats Roman Reigns, he's a unified champion. If he loses to Roman Reigns, he can never appear on SmackDown. Or that was the stipulation on Friday. Can never appear on SmackDown. All right, fine. He took Sami Zayn on, beat him. He gets the title shot. Early on Raw tonight, when Miz TV opened up with Paul Heyman, Paul Heyman is cutting a promo, talking about Money in the Bank, talking about Roman Reigns. Riddle interrupts, makes fun of Paul Heyman, makes fun of Miz and his balls. And Riddle's talking about Friday. And Paul Heyman, you know, giving a little bit of props to Riddle. He respects Riddle. And Riddle has momentum, but Riddle cannot beat Roman Reigns. And they're going to add a stipulation tonight. Now, early on, now I watched it closely tonight. The stipulation was, if Riddle loses Friday, then he cannot compete for the Unified Championship ever again. Now, before I show you something, let's touch on that for a minute. Roman Reigns is not going to be the Unified Champion, and there's not going to be a Unified Champion for more than X amount of months. This is not years to come. So Riddle not fighting for the Unified Championship again is not a big deal, because 3 months from now, 5 months from now, 6 months from now, 8 months from now, Roman Reigns likely will have at least one of those belts lost. No more Unified Champion. When was the last time we had Becky two belts? When was the last time we had anybody two belts on the women's side? So you think about that stipulation. Oh, if so-and-so loses, they can never fight Becky for the Unified Championship if they did that. Are we seeing a Unified Champion? So once Roman loses this Unified Championship, the stipulation with Riddle goes out the door. So Riddle could fight for a SmackDown title in the future, could get drafted to SmackDown in the future. But towards the end of tonight's Raw, they put a graphic on the screen. If you look at the graphic, it is different than what they said earlier. The graphic says, if Riddle loses, Riddle could never challenge Roman Reigns again. It's a pretty stiff stipulation. So as long as Roman has a championship, Riddle cannot challenge Roman ever again. Someone else could be Unified Champion. Riddle can challenge them. Take very close attention at that graphic. This is focused only on Roman Reigns. Do you remember my thumbnail from about 6 weeks ago when I showed you a whole bunch of different opponents and I said, this is what WWE is lining up for Roman Reigns before he drops his championships? They want to cement Roman's legacy as one of the greatest in recent memory. You're now seeing everybody on that graphic all getting involved. Do you think WWE plans on revisiting Riddle versus Roman Reigns for the Unified Championship down the line? No. No. Riddle is not in the cards to become heavyweight champion anytime soon. A year, year and a half from now? Sure. It's possible. Absolutely. But from now leading up to next year's WrestleMania at minimum, Riddle is not in the plans to become a Unified Champion. So you could pull this stipulation. It's not going to really amount to much of anything. So you know what the outcome is going to be Friday. Unless Riddle wins by disqualification. That's a possibility. Maybe Riddle wins by disqualification. He doesn't win the championship, but he could still challenge Roman in the future. There's the graphic one more time. If Riddle loses, he can never challenge Roman again. So if he wins by DQ, he could get another match. So you got to look at all those areas. You know, you got to think outside the box a little bit. WWE is very, very deceiving with this stuff. That's why when Cody originally cut that commercial for Money in the Bank when they were going to do it in that stadium, if you really thought about it closely, you realize that all WWE was doing was just trying to make Money in the Bank seem bigger than what it was because they were trying to sell out a stadium. But at the end of the day, it was nothing different about it. You got to listen closely. So, all right. Yep. Benjamin says, I found the loophole. Yes, I definitely found the loophole. But I don't know if we will even get a loophole on Friday. But we know what's going on Friday. So, all right. So, Riddle tonight gets a match. And we could go out of place. Riddle took on Ciampa. Probably my favorite Ciampa match being on the Raw roster so far, but I'm still very concerned about Ciampa's future on the Raw roster. It just feels like it's going absolutely nowhere. Ciampa probably used to his advantage more than anyone else in recent memory, and that's Riddle being barefoot. You would think barefoot, all you would do is just keep stepping on his toes all night long, rip his freaking toenails off, you know, take something and stab it. You know, try to do what Raven used to do with Tommy Dreamer's fingers. That's all I would do. I would just put him in a leg lock and just totally fuck up his feet. So Ciampa with more offense tonight to Riddle's feet than anyone else. And speaking of feet, we joked about it Saturday. I talked to someone today. That match with Corbin versus Moss Friday in a last laugh match may end up being what we feared, that the first person who laughs loses. I'm not fucking kidding. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's good. I could, you know, if you start throwing out some wild jokes and you just like, remember that infamous Beavis and Butthead episode with the coach? And they were trying, you know, like they couldn't laugh, otherwise they were like suspended or something. And the coach is like, we're going to talk about masturbation. We might see something stupid like that. Just warning you. Just warning you. By the way, told you this on Saturday, and we ended up getting it tonight, that WWE planned on having a women's tag team match with the two winners to advance in Money in the Bank. We talked about that on Saturday. You got that tonight. It was Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan beating Doudrop and Nikki Ash. I know I showed it to you earlier, and I really, really believe this when I say it. I am in no way, shape, or form putting them in the category of Sasha Banks and Naomi. But I'm telling you, if these two are not tag team champions in the next 6 months, something is wrong. I know the women's tag team division in WWE sucks right now. And you know you're going to get makeshift tag teams. And I don't give a shit if they're blonde-haired, red-haired, brown-haired, black-haired, bald. I don't care. I don't look at people that way. By the way, I'm not even into blondes. But they clicked tonight. They gel really well. Liv, we've always said it, better with a tag team partner, because it hides all the focus on her. Same thing with Alexa Bliss. They did a spectacular job tonight. And I hope WWE keeps them a tag team going further. Sasha and Naomi, we talked about over the weekend, sausage, as far as what is going to happen next. But even if they come back, you know, they can't be tag champs forever, even if they were to get them back. I'm telling you, mark it down. Remember this, Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss, they are going to be WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. They are almost the same height. They're almost the same size. Liv Morgan seemed extra invigorated tonight. They blended well with each other. And give credit to Nikki Ash and Doudrop because they put on a good performance for them too. But I'm telling you, that tag team, everybody, you give it a couple of months, you're going to see the sausage being made on all these sites. WWE is really high on Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss. WWE is really high. Just like the sausage yesterday. Oh, last week at Dynamite, our sources tell us that MJF was heavily discussed backstage. Yeah, and at SmackDown, Naomi and Sasha Banks was heavily discussed backstage. And our sources tell us on Dynamite, even though it hasn't happened yet, that our sources tell us that Jeff Hardy was the topic of conversation amongst everybody backstage on Wednesday. They're very, very concerned about Jeff Hardy. Our sources tell us. Sausage. So I said earlier, Liv with Bliss. I know it's, I don't like the with word, but, you know, if you Google the definition of bliss, it's happy, happiness, glee, joyful. So you're living with joy. You're living with happiness. Live with bliss. But you spell live, L-I-V, not L-I-V-E. Live with bliss. I don't know. Just thinking about it during the show tonight. But they did a kick-ass job tonight. Loved their work. I hope WWE took notice. And I hope all these news sites that make sausage every day, I hope they took notice too. Don't be surprised if you see your inboxes flooded the next couple of days about Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss as a tag team. So, okay, Montez Ford losing to Jimmy Uso. We've seen the Usos in the Street Profits over and over and over and over again. What you saw tonight is nothing different than what we've seen before. This time around, Montez Ford, beautiful frog splash, no water in the pool. Jimmy Uso gets out of Dodge. Montez Ford gets pinned. So Jimmy Uso beats Montez Ford. Sit-down interview with Seth Rollins, Kevin Patrick interviewing Seth Rollins. Seth opens up with laughing. He admits that what he said to Cody last week in the ring was true, but Cody is a virus. Sometimes in life, you got to make unpopular, hard decisions. When no one is on your side, and he shows the sledgehammer, you have to take matters in your own hands. He says that in WWE, it's adapt or perish. He takes pride in what he did last week. He says the American Nightmare is dead and Monday Night Rollins is back and better than ever. He is focused now on winning Money in the Bank. We find out later on he is going to have a qualifying match with AJ Styles. Winner goes to Money in the Bank. Seth says that AJ Styles does not have the killer instinct and is not on his level. Seth says that he may have to do to AJ what he did to Cody. He closes out laughing, but AJ gets the last laugh in this segment because AJ cheap shots Seth Rollins. And AJ just looks at Seth and says, that's for Cody. So we know the match we're going to have later on. As we said earlier, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, they make magic in that ring. They had a spectacular match, but you knew who was going on to Money in the Bank. And we talked about it yesterday, sausage, that Seth Rollins is going to be the favorite to win Money in the Bank this year. You could see that teasing over and over and over and over again. I mean, we don't know all the participants. Tonight, after Raw is all done, we only know one participant in the men's Money in the Bank match. On the women's side, this is what we have so far. Now, remember, we have SmackDown. And you know that Drew McIntyre and Sheamus are probably going to be in Money in the Bank. So now you suddenly have three people already in. They're going to have another match or two on Friday. So a good portion of your Money in the Bank setup for the men and women's side should be almost complete on Friday. But Seth Rollins, you know, having a spectacular match with AJ Styles, had a pair of This Is Awesome chants. One part of the match, Seth Rollins does a tope suicida outside the ring. Just kind of elbows AJ a little bit. AJ flies over the announcer's table. Really good match. AJ Styles, and little thing that I noticed, and look, yes, I am a late fan of Cornette's work. For many years, I despised Cornette. I like his work now. I hope to God he picked up on this today because I saw it tonight. I'm like, this beautiful. Towards the end of the match with AJ versus Seth, AJ attempts a phenomenal forearm, but Seth gets out of the way, and when AJ lands feet first into the mat, he starts favoring his left knee. He's, you know, the announcers are saying that he tweaked his left knee, and AJ is selling the left knee. AJ still tries to climb the top ropes, but Seth stops him. Seth hits him with the buckle bomb. Attempts a frog splash of his own, but just like Montez Ford, no water in a pool. AJ gets out of the way. Seth lands on the mat. But what ends up happening, and I love this, AJ attempts a Styles clash. Seth Rollins rolls him up. But if you look closely, Seth, what I always called, it was the Zach Gowen pin. Now, I'm sure if you Google it in quotations, you will not find one person that will ever describe to you what the hell is Don Tony saying when he says the Zach Gowen pin. I have always said, since Zach Gowen was on TV, when I used to do my hotlines, I never could buy into Zach Gowen. Because if I was wrestling Zach Gowen, all I would do is hook the good leg. How is he going to kick out? What is he going to do? Kick out with the fake leg? If he tries to kick out with the fake leg, it's going to hit the front row and hit some kid in the face. So you want to beat, in storyline, Zach Allen, you hook the good leg. That's it. He's fucked. So what happened with Seth Rollins tonight? When he rolled up and pinned Cody Rhodes, he hooked the good leg. You even go back and look at it. He paid attention to AJ's legs and grabbed the one that was the good one because AJ's other leg was tweaked and he couldn't kick out. Little things like that is stuff that most people do not notice, but that's why Seth Rollins is one of the best at his game. And don't get me wrong, Bryan Danielson, AJ Styles, Riddle, Sami Zayn, CM Punk, they all do it. They all do it. But unless somebody points it out, most times we just say, oh, he won with a fruit roll-up. So beautiful, beautiful thing. Beautiful thing tonight. The only thing I didn't like about the AJ Styles, Seth Rollins dynamic tonight, when AJ cut his promo later on and he says that, you know, he's not in Seth's league, that Seth is beneath him, AJ Styles said that the reason why he wants to win Money in a Bank is just to spite Seth Rollins, which I thought was really, really stupid. Corey Graves mentioned that AJ Styles has never won Money in the Bank. It ain't happening this year either. So MVP over Cedric Alexander. MVP got on the mic in the middle of the ring before the match. He trashed Lashley, put over Omos, teased Omos and Money in the Bank. MVP beat Cedric. After he beat Cedric, he tossed him out of the ring. I thought we were going to see the return from Shelton Benjamin. Because for those that don't know, Shelton Benjamin worked main event tonight. So I honestly thought that Shelton was going to come down there to make the save for Cedric. But maybe they were just short on time tonight. Because after MVP beat Cedric, he just tossed him out of the ring. And that was it. So I think we may see Cedric back on TV next week. In fact, I expect to see Cedric and Shelton versus Omos and MVP. Don't be surprised if that happens next week. So, Benjamin, I'm like glancing at the chat. The thing is, we added obviously a big story tonight with Jeff Hardy. And, you know, we're a little pressed for time, and I'm not doing a two-hour show tonight. I've been overloading everybody with content. So, you know, we're going to wrap up Raw and get out of here tonight. I got a little giveaway we got to do too. But, yeah, so I'm going back and forth. So I don't see anybody talking like an asshole, so it's all good. Becky Lynch, I thought they were doing it tonight. If you remember what we picked up last week, that Becky is so desperate, she wants any gold. They announced a rematch tonight with Dana Brooke, and I was like, holy shit. If they do that, I mean, I would have... First of all, popped big time, but we didn't get that. What ends up happening is Dana Brooke, I see this guy in the chat. All right, so unfortunately we got someone who is acting like, he says WWE sucks. Yeah, they do suck. What do you want me to say? All right, so he's gone. I mean, look, we're not AEW. We're not WWE. You're not pissing us off. We're recapping Raw tonight. You think I give a fuck? You feel WWE sucks? Good. Just super chat me next time. This way, at least I can buy some coffee with it. Yeah, I just realized, well, you know what? Austin is having a rough day, and Guardian of Chaos is chilling tonight, so that's why we don't have any mods. Everybody else who always wanted to be mods, they did it one week, and then they disappeared, so it's all good. Dana Brooke versus Becky Lynch never happened tonight. It was supposed to. Did you notice what happened early on? The bell never started, so the match never started. Bell was never hit. So when Becky was beating the shit out of Dana Brooke, did you hear the crowd? Becky, Becky, Becky. I have nothing personal against Dana Brooke, but if WWE doesn't see the writing on the wall. You've done wedding angles. You've done 24/7 angles. You've done everything you possibly can. You know, I mean, there's other talented women out there. You know, the fans are just not buying it. I mean, how many years? I mean, did they secretly sign like an 8-year deal with her or something that we don't know about? But the fans were strongly behind Becky Lynch. So what happens? Becky Lynch gets on the microphone. She tries to get the fans against her. She's yelling tonight, I don't want the 24/7 title. It's not about the 24/7 title. I just don't like about the disrespect week in and week out. I got a lot of anger, a lot of rage in me right now, she says. I forged a path of greatness for everyone to follow, and everybody disrespects me. I keep climbing. And speaking of climbing, she looks at Money in the Bank. And the last time she was in Money in the Bank, she was cheated. And she wants in for Money in the Bank. But for right now, she's going to focus on the match. But then Asuka's music hits. Asuka comes out. Becky runs down the rampway. They brawl a little bit. Asuka ends up getting the upper hand. Becky backtracks. Match never started, so we never got a match. Hey, we got, I think, 8 matches tonight. If you don't count that one, I think we got 8 matches, not including the pose down either. So Becky gets out of Dodge, and then we had the women's tag team match. And it was funny because as Alexa Bliss came out and Becky was walking back, Becky's like, I hope you win. I hope you win. So Becky and Dana Brooke never happened. It never happened. Okay. Kevin Owens versus Ezekiel. Right off the bat, they did the reverse of Hell in a Cell. In Hell in a Cell, you had Ezekiel hit the elbow, and I don't remember the other move, but he hit 2 moves right at the beginning and it hit a 2 count. You go back and you look at the match tonight. If you watch the beginning of the Hell in a Cell match and you watch tonight, they basically said, okay, role reversal. Kevin Owens did his 2 spots the same way Ezekiel did at Hell in a Cell. There was one very, very scary spot where Ezekiel dropped Kevin Owens on the ring steps and he landed on the edge. And even the announcers were just amazed how quick that Kevin Owens recovered. Guy is, you know, thick. And he's just, you know, he's a rock. I mean, you see Kevin Owens take some bumps sometimes, even when he rolls out of the ring. It just looks like it hurts. You ever roll out of bed and fall on the floor? That's what Kevin Owens did tonight in the ring. And it just looked extremely painful. But we got a stupid finish. Kevin Owens attempts a stunner. Ezekiel hits him with a forearm. Kevin Owens rolls out of the ring, lands on the floor. Ezekiel goes out of the ring, attempts a splash in the corner. Kevin Owens moves out of the way. So Ezekiel crashes into the corner outside the ring. The referee is counting. Ezekiel gets back in the ring. For some reason, Kevin Owens stands on the announcer's table. That's Elias. That's Elias. And he gets counted out. Very, very stupid. But they covered it up. Ezekiel gets on the mic. He talks about Money in the Bank, and he is so thrilled about his opportunities, Money in the Bank, and everything that Elias is coming back. And next week, Elias will be on Raw. Elias will be in concert. And even Ezekiel says, next week, we're all going to yell, walk with Elias. And next week, we're getting Elias. So, Sausage, how is WWE bringing back Elias? Ezekiel, clean shaven. How is Ezekiel, clean shaven, going to come back as Elias? 2 things they're going to do. Remember this? Now, it doesn't stick anymore, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to glue a beard on Elias's face. They have done that before. Makeup has played around for weeks trying to get the perfect beard for Ezekiel so he looks like Elias. So they will have a beard perfectly. Now look, they may go funny and they may give him a gray beard. It could very well be that Elias's beard is gray, but that's what they're doing. Yeah, see, I don't have glue on it anymore. It really won't stay. I look French now, but I'll put glue back on it one day. But yeah, so that's what they're going to do. They're going to put on a fake beard for Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel obviously will not be in the ring with Elias during the concert. Do not be surprised if you see Ezekiel on the Titantron and then you have Elias in the ring. But yes, they're going to put a fake beard. They will glue it well, and he's going to do what he's going to do. So that's how they're bringing Elias next week. Our sources tell us, the WWE sausage. Bianca Belair would have really, I don't know, I didn't like the interview. Hey, how do you like that supernatural Judgment Day stuff that everybody was talking about? Oh, my God. We had a field day about that with the Edge stuff over the weekend. Horrible, horrible. But anyway, Bianca Belair's in the ring talking about Money in the Bank, talking about Rhea Ripley. Judgment Day go on the screen. Rhea Ripley is talking about Bianca Belair. The greatest thing about you at Money in the Bank is your downfall. I will eradicate you from your existence. Rhea Ripley is confident she will become champion. And look, Bianca Belair, she still needs to work on her promos a little. I mean, Rhea cut a good promo, great promo. And if you look at Bianca after she's in the ring and she's like, like she had an itch on her nose. You know, I didn't know what her, you know, she just, her reaction just didn't, you know, act like you're a little nervous. Act like Rhea's like scared the shit out of you. Cause she's like, go back and watch it. That's if you put voice to her facial reaction, it's like, Everybody in audio only now is like, DT, stop. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. If you go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code DONTONY, you get 20% off your order, and they have the package that I have. That didn't sound right, but it's the ultra smooth package. Get it for yourself, get it for your dad, your boss, your significant other. Buy it for someone on Discord that obviously has extremely hairy balls and it's probably haven't seen pussy or a butt since probably The Simpsons debuted on Fox. You go to Manscaped, they have tons of grooming products. They got body spray, soap, but if you get the package that I'm talking about, the Ultra Smooth package, you get three things with it. But I also recommend you get the Lawnmower 4.0. That is a razor. It's got protective grooves. And, you know, if you're like how it used to be, you know, you got tumbleweeds down there. 90% of people out there, they want their partner to be groomed. Especially if you're one of those that likes the carpet munch. You think you want to go down there? You know, I don't mind a carpet munch, but you don't want to go down there and be like a wool rug. You know, where your face is just buried and all you just, you're looking around and all you see is fucking grassland. So you get the Lawnmower 4.0, you trim it down nice. Then you go in the shower. It's recommended you go in the shower. Don't use dude wipes. You put on the crop exfoliator. You wash yourself up. Fuck you to everybody that seems to get angry that, you know, I get sponsors, dickheads. Then you rinse it off. You put the crop gel on and now everything down there is cool as a cucumber, happy as can be. Shave me, Don Tony, shave me. Get the crop gel, and then you get the razor. And you do whatever you want. You want a landing strip? You want the male landing strip? You want to have it just, you know, like a nice trimmed grass before your barbecue? Or do you want to go infant? You want to be clean as a whistle? Do whatever you want. Just don't show me pictures. Hey, DT, it works good. Look. No, thank you. Manscaped.com/DonTony. And for the haters out there, guess fucking what? Manscaped only asks me to plug it on Saturdays. I plug it because I want to. And I like this shit. All right. Chad Gable. I'm getting a little sick of it, everybody. Shoosh. Shoosh. Now it sounds like a train. You know, we used to go, shoosh. Yeah. You got to be funny. Yeah, but shoosh. Yeah, but shoosh. Yeah, but I said shoosh. Shoosh. No, now it sounds like an extended train, like from far away. Like little kids are playing on the train tracks and they hear it for so long, they can get out. They have plenty of time to run away from the train. Shoosh! What's even worse is Chad Gable beat Ali. Ali had no offense. Ali had a tiny little bit of offense at the end. Otis interferes. The ref looks at Otis. And the ref is like, hey, nice shirt. Referee sees Otis grabbing Ali's leg. And he's like, oh, well, I'm trying out for AEW. Literally, Otis grabs Ali's leg. You don't do the out of here. No, he looks at him and says, yeah, I'm trying out for AEW. So I'm just going to look at you and just act like, you know, you're not really there. I'll pretend you're Jamie Hayter. So what happens? Chad Gable, Ali gets a tornado DDT, which looked nice, but Otis tries to interfere. The ref does nothing about it. Chad with the suplex gets the win. I don't know if this is what Ali bargained for. Dominic Mysterio versus Mahan, Veer Mahan. That sounds like James Bond. Call me Mahan. Veer Mahan. What is your name? My name is Mahan. Veer Mahan. I jinxed myself with this beard. Now I feel like I really did cough a bunch. I feel hairs in my mouth. Dominic Mysterio versus Veer last week. This week it's Rey versus Veer. Veer gets the win. This was okay until the very end. Veer dominated. Got outside the ring, had a stare down with Dom. Veer whips Rey Mysterio face first into the corner turnbuckle. Attempts a splash in the corner. Misses. Gets the upper hand. Attempts another dive into another corner. Misses. Gets outside the ring. Starts attacking Dominic Mysterio. And then I don't know what the fuck he was trying to do. But Veer gets back in the ring and just drops Rey. And they're like, oh, he kind of like dropped him on his jaw. I don't know what it was, but it did not look good. And then Veer with the cervical clutch for the win. Dominic was knocked for a loop. So expect something maybe to transpire next week with Dominic and Rey. And then we had the pose down tonight. Pose down. You know, I kind of miss the Ravishing Rick Rude Ultimate Warrior, that muscle bar that they use, you know, the bendable bar. I wish they had more people that would use that, but they don't. You have Adam Pearce in the ring, and Theory is doing his thing. Bobby Lashley doing his thing. You know, he's posing, he's showing off his muscles. And then Adam Pearce is about to ask the fans who won. Theory grabs the mic. Theory kind of asks the fans, and you knew who the winner was going to be. It was Lashley by a mile. But Lashley says, I'm going to beat you tonight, and I'm also going to beat you for that title. Look, I know people have been telling you that Cena versus Theory is happening at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam. I would wait a little bit because it seems like they really want to go with this Bobby Lashley Theory program. Man, I'd love to see Bobby Lashley get gold, but I don't know if he's going to actually beat Theory. We're not so sure, but Theory, before that Adam Pearce could officially announce a winner, Theory gets on the mic, and he says, Bobby, we got one last pose, and was supposed to be baby oil. It was like one like a mustard or mayonnaise squirt bottle filled with water, and he squirts it in Bobby Lashley's face, hits him with a drop kick. And, you know, they pretty much go off the air with that. It was water. It was not baby oil. Although it kind of looked like it. I think Bobby Lashley had baby oil on him already. So when the water hit, it really showed the baby oil. But every time I think of baby oil, I think of Captain Lenny. Some people know why I say that. But, you know, it was a fun little pose down. But like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, you should be used to this now. This is at least the third time this year that WWE Raw has gone off the air with Bobby Lashley in a non-wrestling segment. And we got it tonight with Theory. So, and again, would not surprise me if Bobby Lashley wrestled a dark match after Raw. So, your main event matches tonight, Shelton Benjamin over Akira Tozawa. Some people were reporting that Shelton was taking on Ali. Obviously, WWE either changed their mind or those people got it wrong because Ali performed on Raw. He probably was better off performing on main event. But Shelton is back. He's back from injury. He beat Tozawa and T-Bar beating Reggie. So the lovable divorcees continue to be perfect on main event. They have lost every match. Reggie and Tozawa. All right. Before we get out of here, a couple of previews, a little contest, and I got to share something with all of you. I don't know how you feel about this. Alberto El Patron, Alberto Del Rio, he wants to be in the WWE Hall of Fame badly. He went on social media yesterday to state his case why he should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm not trying to play coincidence, but I'm wondering with Paige making the announcement that she's leaving WWE, and we got into that in great detail on Saturday. So when I go like this, you could go check out Saturday's show because we got into that. On Wednesday, we'll talk about Two Dimes. I got a little more information as far as why WWE let go Two Dimes. We jinxed that motherfucker. For the last month, we've been saying Two Dimes. He's on his way out. You know, he ain't cutting it in Tony D'Angelo's group. We'll talk about that Wednesday. But I wonder if Patron, with Paige leaving, now he thinks, you know, that confrontation will not be there. He goes on Twitter and he lets us all know that he is a four-time World Heavyweight Champion. He is a winner of the biggest battle royal in WWE history. I thought that was Saudi Arabia, but maybe he's right. He's a Money in the Bank winner, a two-time United States champion, and he will do his best to raise the Mexican flag once. My question to all of you is, should WWE down the line put Alberto Del Rio into the WWE Hall of Fame? My initial reaction is, what are you, fucking stupid? You have a really bad history, attitude problem, behavioral. I mean, WWE let go Enzo. And we feel that it was unjustly done. This guy, to me, I don't know. There's always some horrible controversy surrounding this guy. But I was thinking about it over the weekend, and I'm like, all right, Hall of Fame weekend. You give a little homage to him. You give him his fucking ring. Get the fuck out of here. Don't ever show up again. So how do you all feel about Alberto Del Rio? Should WWE consider putting him in the Hall of Fame down the line, or I wouldn't even go there? Because this guy, I mean, if you've paid attention, he's going to be on AEW. He's going to be back in WWE. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And it seems like the only promotions that really want to invest in him is his own or the promotions in Mexico for the most part, or this couple in Texas. A lot of people in the chat room say no, with the exception of one person. I don't know. Alberto, I wouldn't go as far as calling him a psychopath, but, you know, we've seen enough footage over the years that something is off with this guy. You know, it's almost like a split personality with him. But don't get me wrong, extremely talented. I mean, his accolades, he earned those championships. He was not, you know, just treading by when he got all those accolades. But I don't know. As far as his stuff outside the ring, I don't know if I would put him in. So anyway, Wednesday, as I told you over the weekend, WWE taped the next 2 weeks of NXT. It's already in the bag. So I'm not going to give you spoilers, but the Creed brothers are going to take on Idris Inofi and Malik Boyd for the tag titles on Tuesday. We're going to have Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolan, and JC Jane versus Cora Jade, Indy Hartwell, and Roxanne Perez. Zion Quinn versus Wes Lee. Giovanni Vinci. He's going to debut. Marcel Baldero. Fabian Aichner. What am I saying? Fabian Aichner. Yeah. Now it's Giovanni Vinci. You got to say it like that. Giovanni Vinci. It's got to be all one word. And Joe Gacy's dyad make their in-ring debut. I have still not found one fan who was in attendance on Wednesday that took a picture. Nobody seems to have taken a picture of the dyad. Somebody that I trust told me that DT, they are wrestling with the hoods over their heads. That's just fucking horrible. But we will see it tomorrow. Check out the prize tomorrow. We're going to have two winners tomorrow during the NXT watch party. We were talking about Shotzi Blackheart. She had a decent match with Ronda Rousey. And we're going to give away a pair of photos tomorrow, signed photos. If you are into horror films, there ain't nobody that's going to tell me these are not some of the hottest, coolest signed photos that you have ever seen. So, yes, that is a Friday the 13th theme. And we are going to give away tomorrow in a watch party. Each person, two people, each one is going to get a photo. And, yeah, that is Shotzi Blackheart signed photos with a Friday the 13th theme. So definitely looking forward to that tomorrow. Very quickly, this was the watch parties from Friday. And everybody who was hanging out, mingling, at least mingling, is in the giveaway. And for those who are actually on the floor, they get two entries. And what are we giving away this week? Well, we advertised it. We're giving away gas, not the we're giving away Shell gasoline with gas prices the way they are. $50 Shell card. Mikey Pops sent me a Shell card. He's like, DT, use it for yourself. Ooh, now I got gas, but I'm not going to do it live on the air. That's disgusting. So we're going to give away a $50 gas card tonight. This is the wheel, and as you can see, some names on there are listed twice. See, when you show up and you text chat, you get an entry. But if you go on the floor and you actually talk, you get two entries. So as you could see, some names are written twice, and I'm going to spin this wheel. Whoever it lands on gets the $50 Shell card. If you want to be part of these giveaways, all you got to do is show up at a watch party. Who is getting the gas card? Round and round it goes. Who it lands on, we soon shall know. Wow, Aphrodite Crush. That is cool. First time he was in the watch party Friday. And look, he pulls away with a $50 gas card. And look, we were saying on Saturday it was fun. He was in the watch party all night Friday. So you earned it, my friend. Send me a DM. Give me your address. Give me your address. I sound like Schwarzenegger, right? Give me your address. Give me your address. All right. We're at an hour and 24. I would love to get out of here in 90 minutes. Try to keep it short tonight. John with an autocorrect. He said he's going to wax someone. He's talking about Jeff Hardy earlier. Yeah, look. You don't want another Sonny situation. And I don't even want to be in that situation. Because, look, I think about all crazy shit. And I'm not going to lie. Something I said to myself earlier is, what the fuck's going to happen if this guy gets behind the wheel, drinks and drives again, and kills somebody? How is the IWC going to treat that? Are they going to go vicious like Sonny? Or are they going to show the uber sympathy for Jeff Hardy? And my reaction to that is, I don't ever want to fucking be in that position to know the answer. Jeff Hardy is very, very lucky that he has not injured himself and has not injured someone else. And we just talked about it last week with Bill DeMott, who was on a crusade about Sonny because he lost his own daughter to a drunk driver a few years ago. It's fucked up. Should not get behind the wheel. I hope, John, that we are never in that situation that we have to talk about this. But again, you know, unfortunately, we live in a free world, everybody. You could drink every day and get behind the wheel. I could drink every day and get behind the wheel. We don't get caught. The first time we get caught, oh, God, everybody, no, look, I never drink and drive. It just, I happen to be at a barbecue, and it's my friend's birthday. It's a little kid's birthday. I had a beer and two beers. But meanwhile, every weekend, I could be sloshing and driving and getting away with it. Nobody knows a damn thing. So I don't know what the extent of Jeff's issue is with alcohol still. either, go take a shot, everybody. I hate saying it like that, but either he's been doing a good job with smoke and mirrors, or this is a unfortunate situation for him. But the man is hurting. He is hurting because he didn't kill anybody, didn't hurt anybody, didn't hurt any himself. He got lucky. He dodged it. But something's got to give now. Something's got to give. And you know the kind of pain this guy is in. You take away even alcohol. How do you deal with that pain? I mean, I had my car accident in 96, and now I'm freaking doing DDP yoga and rolling on this thing, which looks like a tire. And it's fucking painful. And I'm thinking about Jeff Hardy, who's been doing this for decades. I'm like, I could only imagine. That guy could probably just say, come here, and probably be like, oh. Just say, hey, come here, and be in excruciating pain. So I hope we never see that, man. Ray Guns. What if Bray Wyatt returns with the Wyatt family, with Bray, Eric Rowan, and Braun Strowman? I don't see it happening. Braun Strowman is very deeply involved with Control the Narrative. There's a lot of things going on with that that a lot of you aren't even aware of yet. I really would be shocked beyond belief if Braun Strowman was offered enough money from WWE that he would just say, okay, I'm out of here. So I don't see Braun coming back anytime soon. Eric Rowan, I feel bad, man. You know, he was on that AEW pay-per-view, and everybody was making a big deal about it. I'm like, he was just there to fill a void because the House of Black had three people, and they needed somebody on the other side. And he showed up, and he did a good job. But you knew AEW had zero interest in keeping Eric Rowan. You know, so if Bray Wyatt comes back, you know, I would love to see Bray Wyatt as his original character. But, you know, I don't see those guys reforming with him. Plus, I think it would be that glaring emptiness about Brody Lee no longer being here. I think it would just never be the same. Even if you had the three, I think it just, every time you see it, you're reminded of that. So I don't see that happening, to be honest with you. Okay. So, with that said, AEW preview for Wednesday. I got it here. Let me just put it on the screen. I kind of showed you before with the matches. But as we said, the three-way dance for the tag titles is not happening. Here it is. I'm just loading it on the screen. It looks like a very strong lineup. Why is that little, super little thing in the corner? Okay. So we have Chris Jericho versus Ortiz, hair versus hair. And as I said earlier, man, I would have loved if Tony Khan brought in Brutus the Barber Beefcake and have him cut the hair of whoever loses the match. I did that thumbnail myself. I would pop. I know he's a WWE lifer for the most part, but you know, one little payday, it's not a big deal. Tony, call Brutus Beefcake. Come on. He's living in Florida. He'll fly in. Let him cut whoever's hair it is. But we get the hair versus hair, and I think we're all in agreement. Jericho should be the one to lose it. Wardlow will be taking on 20 quote-unquote security guards. Ethan Page versus Miro to go further in the All-Atlantic Championship tournament. And then we'll see what they do about the tag title situation. Personally, I would still go Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express. I would still do it. I didn't think that the Hardys were going to win. I thought either Jurassic Express retains or the Young Bucks. We've been talking about the Young Bucks being positioned to regain tag team gold soon. And we think Christian ultimately is going to turn on Jungle Boy. So they could still do that tomorrow without Matt and Jeff Hardy. I hope that they don't eliminate the match entirely, just so they don't have to mention Jeff Hardy at all. You know, we realize with the John Moxley situation that we're human. You know, we understand that, you know, people do battle a lot of demons, and we're mature enough that nobody's going to be like, oh, you know, some people will do that, but for the most part, people don't. Before I get out of here, Kevon Lewis, You know, we talked about this the other day, man, and I'm sorry for bringing this up, everyone. But, you know, again, Jericho fears MVP. You know, if my advice, Kevon, is look at MVP's social media account. The reports of the confrontation with Chris Jericho and MVP a couple of months ago, there was a confrontation. But all the specifics that were said online of Jericho calling him a jobber and everything like that, that was not true. That was not true. And MVP went out of his way to tell everybody, look, the confrontation happened, but what you all are saying did not happen. And yet people are still running with it. So it's not your fault, but wherever you're reading it, they just looked at MVP's response and like, we're going to act like we didn't even see it because then we could continue goofing on it. I will say this. I don't know. You know, I'm sure Jericho could beat the living shit out of me, but I heard MVP can kick some ass. If MVP and Jericho had a fight, who would win? I think MVP could take him. Seriously, I think MVP could literally pan Chris Jericho his ass. Jericho could defend himself. I'm not trying to throw any shade on Jericho. I heard stories about MVP. Not Haku level, but I heard stories about MVP. You do not want to fuck with that man. So, Isaac, what's my take on MJF right now? Can we confirm that this is not a work at the point with multiple... Isaac, my friend, have you tuned in to the two beautiful, long, passionate rants that I went on? Honestly, I'm going to take the credit for this. We were the only show that on that Saturday night when he no-showed that this was MJF maximizing attention and said, oh, he didn't show and other people had to work overtime. Get the fuck out of here. You work from 9 to 5 and one person doesn't show? What does that mean? Oh, little Johnny's at my booth. He would have been in MJF's booth. Don't buy into that stuff, man. So many people are lying to you because they want to be part of the story. My advice, tune into Saturday's show. I got into it. Look at the two shows where I put MJF on the front of the thumbnail. He's on there for a reason, not because he's got a pretty face. All of these wet. That night, I was doing a Don Tony show when he didn't appear at that autograph signing. And then people like, oh, no, he booked the flight. I fucking booked a flight for Florida and I bought the extra insurance that if I canceled it, I get my money back. So MJF caused a controversy on himself. He books a flight, buys the extra 20, 30. You think these motherfuckers can't afford losing 30 bucks, 40 bucks? So everybody fell for it. And the worst part is you got news journalists online that want to be part of that story so bad. They want to feel like they're in the business so bad. They want to feel like they're helping the storyline get to a different level. Why is everybody giving Tony Khan a complete pass about the MJF situation? How come none of the wrestlers are going out public and voicing out after what Sasha and Naomi did? I'm not saying it's the same, but after Sasha and Naomi did what they did, you know, if MJF walked out, how come all these wrestlers are not calling out? That's fucked up. That's unprofessional. You don't do that. You don't do this. Why was there no delay when MJF got on the mic to cut his promo? Every TV network that's live has usually a 5 or a 2nd censor delay. If the crowd starts chanting something horrendous, something racist, homophobic, or just a chant that's really horrible, they catch it in time. There was no censor delay on MJF. That should have been the telltale sign. Mark Madden said it perfectly. If it makes TV, especially if it makes TV for more than a couple of seconds, it's a storyline. So I hope you tune into those other shows because honestly, if I didn't convince you, there's nothing else that I could say that can. And finally for tonight, Kevon Lewis, that I agree with you. Chris Jericho, you motherfucker. You come close to me, I'll crack you over the head with this salami, you mother... This thing is ceramic. You hit somebody with it, you'll kill them. I'm not kidding. This thing is heavy. This thing has got to be about 15 pounds. My salami is still good. So don't write my salami off yet. So why do I have like weapons like that right at my side? So, all right, we're in an hour and 36. I'm going to jet out of here. So Wednesday, we will be up here talking AEW, NXT. Going to talk a little NWA, always ready. Little update with Matt Cardona. A little update about Tony D'Angelo. We'll get into a little bit more about Two Dimes and him being let go. And the scenario we talked about Saturday with what they could film in 2 weeks on NXT, that could very well happen. And then we got a couple other tidbits that are non-WWE related. So Dream 101, you think the shows are cut short? You're crazy, man. We're at 98 minutes. So if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that thumbs up. If you are part of our Patreon family, I will be live on Patreon tomorrow, right after NXT. Tomorrow is an off-the-cuff episode. So make sure you go to the Patreon page, patreon.com/DonTony. You can put in a question, topic, anything. Whatever you want, post it, and we'll get into it tomorrow night. And if you're not part of the Patreon, then you can either join me Wednesday, right after AEW. We'll see what goes down on Dynamite. And I will tell you this. AEW, I'm not saying they'll get a million Wednesday, but I think that there's enough attention to Wednesday. Man, I wish they would have teased something last week with MJF for this week. I know exactly what they're trying to do, but do they go full with it this week unannounced? I don't know. Usually the following week is the week that, because people will know about it. But who knows? We'll see what happens. But I think Dynamite will be good. NXT, I saw spoilers already, so I know what to expect. But I want to see this dyad stuff. I got to see if these idiots are actually wrestling with the... If they're wrestling with the things over their heads, that tells me one thing. That whoever it is, the fans don't give a shit about. Because you got to hide them this long. When you reveal it, it's got to be somebody incredibly crazy that everybody goes, holy shit. Or you're going to be like, this is what they've been hiding all this time. So I don't know if we'll ever see them remove the head pieces. But again, we're not so sure. So Guero G, thank you very much for that thumbs up, my friend. That super thumbs. I never saw that before. Super thumbs. I like it, though. I like it. Everyone, have a great night. And as you all saw, I started answering some comments over the last couple of days. So if you have any comments about the Jeff situation, anything I talked about tonight, if you have a question that I didn't get into, post it in the comment section. And I will spend a little time tonight before the Ambien kicks in and I conk out. And that's it. Everyone, it's been real. Be well. Say a little... Jeff Hardy in your thoughts. You know, I don't condone what he did, but you know that guy is in such pain, like something's got to numb it. And I don't know what that is other than, you know, his career. So I hope this guy could clean it up, man. So be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.